God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. And if you need numbers or help connecting, send a chat to one of the hosts and we'll help you with that. I'm looking for any waves in the camera or hands in the share pod. The chat pod, I should say. All right, I don't see any, so welcome everyone. The preamble, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problems and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the steps discussed tonight. And this evening, we are discussing steps 5, 6, and 7. And those read, 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Tonight, please welcome Chris S. from New Jersey and Bill S. from New York. We're excited to have them and all their guests joining us tonight. We're going to go ahead and kick off with a reading from page 72, and then I will pass it over to our panelists to share for a few minutes, and we will continue on in that pattern. So our first reading is from page 72. Having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We've been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and just to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the 5th step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. And we will stop there, and I will pass it over to our panelists. Chris, would you like to start?
Sure, thank you. My name is Chris, I'm an alcoholic. It's nice to be part of this group. A whole bunch of friends are on here, and I want to thank them all for coming. And I want to talk a little bit about step five. My experience with step five, my understanding of step five is a little different today. But I remember when I first approached it, and I first attempted step five with my sponsor, it was a big deal. It was a big deal because I had, up until that point in time, I don't think I had ever been really honest with somebody. It was very important to me for you to believe, I'm different than I really am inside. I was very attached to how I presented and how I thought you thought about me. And so getting honest at that level that I was being asked to get was an extraordinary thing for me. And I went into that first fist out really feeling like low. I had it all written out. I had it all the bad stuff, all the character defects, all the resentments and the harms to others. And it was kind of a burden holding that piece of paper. And I remember going into that fifth step really feeling low. And I get done sharing, and I looked at my sponsor, and I didn't know whether he was going to say, "You're walking home," or I didn't know what he was going to do. And he kind of chuckled, and he goes, "That's not so bad. We can work with that." And I was really surprised by that reaction, because I really thought it was like the worst stuff ever. I understand today, because I've heard so many fifth steps, that, it's almost all the same. We almost all have the same things in our fifth step. And then he said something to me that I'll never, ever forget. He goes, "Chris, I want to share something with you." He goes, "I believe you were an alcoholic before you started to drink. I believe you were like a campfire with glowing coals. And that was your alcoholism. And when you picked up a drink, it was like throwing gasoline on that campfire. And it blew up into flames, and it burnt you and everybody around you. And I want you to understand something. You are now trying to put the pieces of your life back together. You're working the 12 steps, and you're making an attempt to become a better person and overcome these things. So lighten up on yourself, And I remember walking away from there with my head level. I was level now. I wasn't looking down, and it was a really good experience. Pass it over to Bill.
Thanks, Chris. I'm Bill, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you for this is an honor. I get to share the screen with my grand sponsor and my good friend, Chris. I just love him and his wife both. They're just awesome people and been very instrumental in my life. My sobriety date's 1/28/1989. I'm a member of a big book study group on Sunday nights, where we do a paragraph at a time, and we have a speaker once a month. You're all welcome to come, and somehow we could get you the messages. But this paragraph in the fifth step, I've got quite a history with not doing things. I first went to a rehab in June of 1981, and I did a fifth step there with a priest. It was one of the most powerful fifth steps I've ever had to this date, and I've done multiple fifth steps. But my problem was that, as it says down here at the bottom of this paragraph, but hung on to some of the worst inventories or items in stock, and they weren't even the worst items. I think I got rid of the worst items, but the items that were still a cancer within me continued my egoism and my self-centeredness. in my drive to arrive and, you know, and to get through life the best I could and with what I was dealing with, I didn't have the sponsor that walked me through these steps. You know, some of you have been fortunate enough when you walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, someone grabbed a hold of you and said, hey, come on, let's go. Let's get this done. Pounded you through the steps. And I didn't have that experience. I'm a rehab baby that went through untreated alcoholism for a lot of years, stayed sober, sponsored people, thought I was doing things right, didn't know what I didn't know. You know, that priest took me through, and then it came back around again to, 7 years ago. And I've been sober a long time, and I was handed a CD, which changed my life, because I knew there was always something missing within me, but the message that I was hearing wasn't what you folks are projecting here to me tonight or what we're reading here. I didn't know what I didn't know, but I knew there was a hole in my soul. And what ended up happening to me was, you know, pursuing another sponsor, a sponsor that took me through this work. And, you know, I sat with him, and I'll never forget, I'm sitting in, I'm doing my fourth step at Founders Day. It's 5 a.m. Now, what kind of guy gets up at 5 a.m. to listen to my BS of a fourth step? You know, he did this. You know, that's the kind of people in my life today. I didn't have those people, but I survived. Don't get me wrong, but I didn't blunder onto the bitter end. Fortunately, I was able to pick up the spiritual toolkit that came to me. So now I look at this in a whole different set of glasses. You know, I come from the Mark Houston lineage now, and that's, you know, we get pretty deep within this fifth step and looking at our first five proposals, you know, and this into action is a fifth step. It's not the fourth step. The fourth step is in a different chapter altogether. And I see that now. And I'm bringing this to you because this is the way I take a sponsee through the work now. I have to really take a good hard look at all these columns, the three columns, entirely look at things from a different angle after going through the sick man to get to this point. To get to where I can honestly start, you know, looking at me. I've done the columns, I've done the fear, I've done the sex, but I've done it with another human being because it tells me to. Now I'm into this fifth step, and I got to sit down for this long talk. You know, and I got to sit with Charlie, and, you know, as he says, it's every dark was, we'll read later, so I won't get into that. But, you know, that's pretty much my experience to this point with this chapter. But I can only tell you that everything has changed my life since that day of that CD and the willingness to pick up that spiritual toolkit and follow these directions and understand how I am showing up in life. Thank you.
Great. Thank you both. We will continue on. Our next reading is from page 73. It says, more than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes this will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension that makes for more drinking. And Chris, we'll pass it back to you.
You know, that is so true for me. I, you know, the first time I read that, I was sitting in a treatment center. It was early 1989, and believe it or not, I thought the person that wrote this book must have heard me talking in my sleep, because I cannot believe that somebody has me so pinned down. That's how egotistical I was at that time. But the things I did on my sprees, they were getting worse and worse and worse. And the only way I could deal with the traumatic emotional pain that I was going through just being me was to start drinking again. So So I would come out, I would come to in the morning, and I'd go, oh, I can't believe, you know, I did that, or this happened, or that happened. And that would force me right to the bottle, because I knew somewhere between drink 7 and drink 9, I would be able to just go, and just put it all away. And the book speaks so eloquently about that. Another thing that was very, very true in my life is I was never trained to be honest with you. You know, I came from a period of time where you don't admit anything. You know what I mean? You deny everything. And so this particular spiritual exercise, it's asking me to do something I'm not really comfortable doing, being completely honest with someone else. And again, you know, the first time you go through these steps, you have to go through these steps with a little bit of faith. Like, I don't know, at least for me, I didn't know these steps were going to work. I was hoping that they would work. I was hoping there would be like a positive experience that would come from them, but I wasn't absolutely sure. But what I've found with these, with the fifth steps that I've done over the years, is every single time I'm as honest as I can be about certain things in my life, the challenges in my life, the more comfortable I am in this world, the less I'm ducking and bobbing and weaving and trying to, you know, get around difficulties instead of just, you know, seeing them as challenges and moving into them. I also have a lot of experience hearing fifth steps. I've heard hundreds of fifth steps. And one of the favorite things for me to experience when I'm listening to a fifth step is seeing the change in the person as they leave, when they're finished with this. Because there's almost always a relief. Like, wow, this wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. And again, we get a little bit more honest. And with this honesty, we get a little bit more humility. We get a little bit more right-sized and can really start to move forward with life on a different level, instead of like this, you know, this underground type of, you know, projecting, you know, a person up on the screen that doesn't really exist. You can be the person that really does exist, and you find out that that's fine. People actually like that better. And it's a great experience. So I'll bounce it over to Bill.
Thanks, Chris. Wow. This paragraph, these two paragraphs they've consumed me. One is I've been trying to figure out, why are they here? Why are these two paragraphs? What was Bill's, what was their theory in putting them in this into action? Because this is me. All the 72 pages before identified me as this guy. You know, at 12 years old, something happens in my life. I go behind the curtain and I live there. Nobody's ever going to know who I am. I mean, it was, and then to find alcohol, and it was, wow, now I really can sit back there. I can be the quarterback of the football team and still be scared to death that no one knows. And that was the truth. And then on Friday night or Saturday night or all the nights, just drink like a fish so I didn't know what the end was. And I was just a lost soul. But behind it all was a very scared individual, full of fear, as it tells us. You know, I'm under a constant fear and tension. And that's the way I was living my life, even sober, because I'm driven. You know, I'm driven to do, what are my sprees? My spree might be excelling in my job site and making everything perfect. But behind it all, I'm still that guy full of fear that if something goes wrong in the tension of it all, then I got to even exert myself more into another spree to make it all work. It's not just for me. It's not just drinking. It's my thinking that goes absolutely crazy, and my soul and the pains of inside of having that lack of power. It's scary. It's a scary spot. I lived there a long time. And I don't live there today. I try to be as transparent as I can be. I ask God to maybe more, to be more honest, to be more of the guy that we're trying to achieve to be. But he knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. That was me. I'm running the biggest jobs for my company that they ever had without a college degree and all these PEs surrounding me, and I'm feeling like less than. And I tell the president of the company, I said, listen, I'm not really comfortable here. And he said to me, I don't ever want to hear that again. You're a friggin' genius. Stop. But you know what? I'm less than. And I don't deserve it. That gave me brains. I didn't even know how to, I guess I was using them, but I was scared to death of them. And that's, I think a lot of us live that way through life. The alcoholism, I'm asleep, dreaming, I'm awake, running through life, even though I'm going to my AA meetings, I'm calling my sponsor, I'm this, I'm that, but am I really discussing what's behind the curtain? And maybe that's why it's in this chapter, is that now I finally got to come out from behind this curtain, and I'm going to sit with that sponsor, and I'm going to tell him everything about me, drunk or sober, that scares the hell out of me, so I can go on in life. And what a life it is if I do that, beyond anything I've ever imagined, after sitting with a sponsor, or many sponsors, I'm not afraid to sit with most anyone today. I have a really powerful circle, and it works. It really does. Thank you.
All right. Thank you both. We're going to flip over to page 75. It says, when we decided who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. We should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. And Chris, we'll go back to you.
What a great series of promises. I really do believe, because I've experienced it myself, I believe that these promises are based on actions that I take. And if I take the actions, these promises will manifest. One that's kind of special to me, one of the fifth step promises that's special to me is, I can be alone at perfect peace and ease. I want to describe a typical day in the 80s in between drinks, like before I got myself good and drunk. I would get home from work, I'd have my bourbon, and I'd go up into my room and I'd turn on the stereo, I'd turn on the TV, I'd put a guitar in my lap, I'd have a bottle of bourbon in front of me, and I'd be reading a book. I mean, I couldn't get enough stuff like to distract me from being with me. And so this particular promise, be alone at perfect peace and ease, is very, very special. You know what I love to do every once in a while? Nothing. That's what I love to do. I love to do nothing. And I got to tell you, my wife doesn't really understand that very well. I said, it's a fifth step promise, honey. But just to be quiet, just to not have to be involved and have a few minutes to be at peace is amazing. My fears will fall from me. Now, I was so filled with fear, I didn't know I was filled with fear when I showed up in Alcoholics Anonymous. I got to be honest with you. If you would have came up to me day two in the rooms and said, Chris, your problem is you're riddled with fear. The fabric of your existence is shot through with it. I probably would have punched you just to prove to you that I'm not afraid, because I'm equating fear with being a coward. And that's really not the kind of fear I think we have. I think it's more based on anxiety. It's more based on, you know, feeling separate and apart from everything and feeling like this is a hostile universe and we've got to be able to manage well. And if I don't manage well, it's, you know, it's all going to go to hell. And that's really the kind of fear that I had. It was all encompassing, and it manifested, at least in me, as anxiety. And I was born with it. I was born with it, that anxiety. You know, maybe that's what makes me alcoholic. I don't know. I'm kind of unconcerned with the origins of my alcoholism. I'm very, very concerned with its existence within me. But I had that fear, that feeling apart from and not in communion with. And that's supposed to start to fall from me. It says it says in this chapter, we're now beginning to have a spiritual experience. I believe alcoholism is the problem. Lack of power is the problem. So that would lead me to believe that finding power would be the solution. And I believe we find that power through living life along spiritual lines. That's included in the steps. It's the spiritual principles. It's listening to that guidance that we've all been born with within, the consciousness that we have within that allows us to perceive things that are right and things that are wrong. And as we start to embrace this spiritual way of life, I think our spirit heals. If you do what we do, if you let the people down that we've let down, if you've made the promises, broken the promises that we made, the people we absolutely love, and all the mistakes we've made and all the times we felt terrible about our behavior, you're gonna have a damaged spirit. Your spirit's gonna be broken. So we come in to Alcoholics Anonymous with broken spirits a lot of times. And you know, we're trying to act as if, you know, we're not a complete basket case of emotions, but a lot of times we are, and there's an enormous amount of healing. And I believe that lack of power is my dilemma, power is the solution to my dilemma, and I gain access to that power through the spiritual life. And the spiritual life manifests to us as a spiritual experience or a spiritual awakening. And I, you know, I wish I knew all that, you know, before I started doing the steps. I would have done them with a little bit more gusto. But like Bill said, how do you know what you don't know? I'm going to bounce it back to you there, Bill.
Right. I love how Chris gets wound up, man. He turns me on. It's awesome. Thanks, Chris. A lot of energy there. Give me about half of that, would you, buddy? I'm a little tired. It was 100 degrees out here today. I'm in Missouri right now, and it was hot. I was outside in it all day. Nice and cool where I am now. This paragraph, again, I have to think about sponsorship, and I have to think about me sitting in the chair doing my fifth step. Because, you know, there's not a lot of directions here for sponsorship. Let's face it. What it does tell us is that we pocket our pride and go for it, illuminating every twist of character and every dark cranny of the past. Well, my sponsor told me that every dark cranny of the past is the sponsor's job to dig into that as you're sitting in that, you know, illuminating your life. And, you know, he did. And it was a powerful experience, as has other people in my life. You know, getting completely honest with someone was something I never could do. I was never honest with any family members. I lived in my own world, and I couldn't let anybody know who I was. And all that fear-ridden self showed up in a lot of different deviant ways, the things that, and actions I did. And in this step now, when I sit, after even doing my columns and my fourth step, for me, this is a new street over here. I've actually talked to my sponsor through my fourth step, and now
I'm trying to
tell you my
story.
Oh, we're getting blown. And gotta get my brain back around here. Totally lost that. So for me to look the world in the eye, it took some real aggressive work, because I was ashamed of a lot of things I had done as a child and as extracurricular activities I did in my life, you know, other than alcohol, and how it affected my family. See, me doing a fifth step, telling God my exact nature of my wrongs, it wasn't about the piggy bank that I stole from my father. It's how I destroyed my family, my father, my mother, and the fear I put into them, and the root of the problem, which was me and destroying a family, but I wasn't bothering anybody. I didn't hurt anybody. But they're scared to death. The police are coming to me. Hey, your mom and dad are really worried about you. But, you know, did I look at that in my fifth step? Yeah, I did here. But prior to that, I was always looking at the cash register. Now I'm looking at the soul and how I was destroying other people and other souls in this fifth step. Then, and only then, was I able to feel my fear fall from me. As it says on page 68, you know, once I believe in this higher power and this infinite God, instead of this finite me who was running the world, and I ask him to remove my fears, and at once I commence to outgrow fears. I have felt that so many times by utilizing that prayer. And it's here because now I've taken that fear, been honest with a human being and God, because he's got to take up a lot of space in this. Because, man, when I start spewing, oh, he's got me. You know, I'm feeling that sense of freedom, that new life. You know, we begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. He's given me the strength to just keep going. And, you know, that good sponsor sitting there looking into that dark cranny has always helped me, you know, magnify the situation to see just exactly how I was showing up. That's a whole new way to look at. For me, it was a whole new way to look at the fifth step. Only it's only been around since ever, you know. But now I can see it in the right light. You know, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. Wow. You know, let's go back to there as a solution. You know, to walk this broad highway, rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence. Here's the rocket fuel. Right there, black and white. You know, all I have to do is read the black part and have a good sponsor sitting there with me, and I'm going to walk away feeling like a new human being. And I do feel like a new human being. You know, my last 7 years of doing this work and working with others and hanging out with guys like Chris and just a lot of people on the screen, it's changed everything in my life. Everything in my life has changed in 7 years. Everything. You know, I've lost a wife to this addiction 2 years ago, and that was just wham, you know, watched her get sober and then die from this disease. But this God of ours, if I do this work, this God of ours, I'm still walking in hand with the spirit of the universe, and I'm still in the light regardless of what goes down around me. I don't have to hide with those fears anymore. I can call Chris, I can call Charlie, I can call Dane, I can call anybody on the screen, and life keeps marching on. That's the power that's here. Those are the promises. You know, that spiritual experience. It doesn't even say we have a spiritual awakening. It says spiritual experience. So we're sitting there for that however many hours, and we walk out of there feeling, whoa, 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 and that spiritual experience has come over us. I felt it. So, extremely powerful. Thank you. I'm good.
Okay, we're going to continue on the same page, page 75. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything. For we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand?
This is a really, really important paragraph. I'll be honest with you. This is a paragraph that I kind of skipped over my first couple of times through the steps. I saw it as, it's like a little review. Let's just move on. But today I see it as an actual instruction of the fifth step, and we're supposed to do this to complete the fifth step, and it asks us to look at the first 5 steps, and I ask the people who go through the steps with me to do this as well. Go into 1 hour's worth of contemplative prayer wrapped around the first 5 proposals, the first 5 steps. And it would look a little bit like this if I was doing it. Okay, step 1. I admitted I was powerless over alcohol, that my life had become unmanageable. Okay, how do I do that? Well, I have to understand what powerlessness is. Powerlessness is equated with alcoholism. And how is powerlessness explained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous? It's explained like this. I have an allergy or the phenomenon of craving when alcohol goes in my body. What does that look like? How does that present in me? The one thing the first drink will always do for me is it will ask for the second drink. The second drink will insist on the third, and the third will demand the fourth. And the more alcohol in my body, the more I have this craving, this allergy, this needing more alcohol in my body. And like the last 5 years of my drinking, whenever I drank myself into unconsciousness, because that's how this craving works. If there's alcohol available and I'm still on my feet, I'm going to be drinking it. And so that's the physical part. The mental part is the obsession of the mind. And this is tricky because so many of us don't want to fully concede to our innermost self that we have no defense against the first drink. We want to think we've got a defense against the first drink. But the big book paints a beautiful picture. It basically says we have no, what will happen is there'll be a strange mental blank spot that will precede the first drink. There'll be a subtle form of insanity that will come over you before you start drinking. And sometimes you'll think about drinking, and sometimes you won't even think about drinking. You'll be banging the bar, asking yourself, how the hell did I put alcohol back in my body again? And, there's chapter after chapter that tries to convince us. There's the story of Jen. There's the story of Fred. And it's all about showing us that on our own, without a spiritual solution, on our own, against this alcohol, we have a mind that has become alcoholic and will not be able to stay separated from alcohol. And that's a tough one to admit. I need to look at that. You know, if I'm 30 years sober, if I'm going to go through the steps again, I need to look at that. I need to ask myself the same questions I did in year 1. After the dash, my life had become unmanageable. What does that look like? I thought in the beginning it looked like the crashed cars and the lost families and the showing up at work drunk and, being made a fool of and passing out everywhere. I believe it's an emotional and it's a spiritual unmanageability. And how it manifests is restlessness, irritability, and discontent. It manifests through the bedevilments. It manifests through selfishness and self-centeredness, the manifestations of self that defeat us. Guilt, shame, remorse, depression, anxiety, the hideous four horsemen, terror, frustration, bewilderment, and despair, pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. All that are descriptions of pieces of the unmanageability in my life. I'm spiritually sick. So I need to look at that step one every single time. Step two, is there a power that I can gain access to that will solve my problem, that will enable me to move forward with and find a solution? Is there a power? Yes, there is. I have experience with that power now. Step two is very easy for me. The first time I went into step two, I had to have faith. Now I have belief. I know. Step three, I need to make a decision. And back in the day, in the 30s, what a decision meant is, if you made a decision, that means you're going to do it. It doesn't mean that you decide to go to New York and later in the day you decide not to. That's not a decision the way they were describing it in the 30s. If you made a decision, you were going to follow through on it. And I need to make a decision to try to gain better access to this power that's keeping me sober and to go through the rest of the steps. And, you know, I need to look at, have I done that? And then I need to look at step four, the resentments, the fears, the conduct inventory, the ideal, the relationship and sexual ideal. Have I done the best job that I can possibly do on that? Then I have to look at step five. Have I been completely honest with the person I'm? Did I hold on to a couple of things that I didn't feel comfortable sharing, you know, like Tallahassee 75, you know what I mean, Bill, you know, did I hang on to the Tallahassee 75? Have I been completely honest? And I need to, in the hour returning home, I need to review all this stuff. And I'm going to bounce it back to my buddy, Bill.
Well, I'm going to go with the easy route here. Ditto. Oh, I got to tell you, Chris came to a retreat of ours last year, and he spoke for an hour on this hour on the fifth step. And it was one of the best I've ever heard, because he really breaks it down. And I don't think I could ever compete with him. It's not a competition. It's my own experience, and it's his experience. And I love being here with him. You know, and I think about this hour, and I can think about the first hour. There wasn't a first hour. You know, I wasn't told to go sit in an hour, and I didn't read the book to even know it was in the book. All I did was what was so-called the fifth step with the priest, boom, boom, you know, slap you on the butt, way you go, you're good, go home, go to AA, don't drink, go to meetings. Life is good, 90 and 90. Okay, I'll do that. Yep. I did my 90. You know, and now I get this opportunity to, at my age, to actually have a new life and see what's in that book of Alcoholics Anonymous, what it's telling us, and have people with experience of walking through it themselves on both sides, being sponsors and being a sponsee, to experience what it's like to have to go home after this fifth step and truly looking at the depth of my commitments through the first five proposals, and to look at my life and see where step one was illuminated in my drinking and in other obsessive compulsive behaviors, and how I just didn't have power on how powerless I really was. I am a real alcoholic. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I cannot drink one drink without the whole world going on. I have all the best intentions in the world when I leave the house to get that loaf of bread. But 3 days later, I'm sitting on a picnic table and wondering, whoa, what happened? And, you know, going into my son's room, looking at him with all the deepest and the most honorable direction in the world that I can't raise you like this. Like, I had no power. I didn't know how to stop. When I stopped, I couldn't stay stopped. And when I started, I couldn't stop. So it's just, what a vicious cycle. I'm so relieved that that's not part of my life today. And to sit with that after telling my sponsor everything about me and him not judging me, wow, that was incredible not to be judged in that situation. So then step two is so much, it covers so much ground for me. I'm constantly going back into step two today, even though in this hour I'm supposed to go, what am I prejudicing today? Am I prejudicing this God in my understanding? And as we go through the second step and how we're just prejudicing the whole world, you know, anyone of any rights, it's just how I am. My ego and my level of self-centeredness is I'm driven for me. I'm number one, and I always believed in God, but he was number two. He had the corner. He had the corner covered, you know, until that connection finally came. I mean, my connection with my higher power now is beyond. I'm not even on the ladder when it comes to it, you know. I just talk to him and do the best I can with it. But to finally come to the understanding that, you know, that he could restore me to sanity, because I'm a crazy man. Anybody that runs behind the curtain, like we discussed in The Double Actor, is a crazy man, because I'm showing one thing and being another. That's pretty insane as far as I'm concerned. Then we go to this third step, and oh my gosh, you know, this blew me out of the water. I didn't even know 60 to 63 was in the book. I listened to this CD, and there was all my problems right there. I was it, you know. I'm the guy, and I have to ask myself in that hour, you know, am I still trying to run the show? Am I a story stealer? And where am I showing up in a conversation? Am I truly becoming a listener? Do I care? You know, these are questions that they might not really say that in the third step, but they're real. You know, am I being of compassion and a loving person today instead of that egotistical maniac running the show? You know, and then people retaliate and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's just the domino effect. It just goes down, and I go down hard with it. So now, and then I go into this fourth step and my resentments, and I sit, and you know, then I get to look at Charlie down there at the bottom of the screen, and he's laying out of bed in Founder's Day, listening to my fourth step, you know, going through these first three columns, and then talking about the sick man. And am I awake to that today? Am I judging everyone, or am I really taking a look at what spiritually sick is about? And am I willing to, you know, let things slide because of that fact? You know, I'm good with it. You know, and where I'm showing up after that is, as it says, are we ready to entirely look at things from an entirely different angle? You know, and I am, and I have been. And to get through the sex inventory, the fear inventory, wow. You know, those nine questions, and am I right with God with those behaviors? You know, where am I with my moral standards today? And that's what some of that conduct inventory is about. That's for me. And when I sat there for that hour, I wasn't even into an hour. I called Charlie up and I said, hey, listen, I'm not feeling too good. This was when I did my fifth step with Charlie. He says, well, what's wrong? I said, man, I feel like I've been pretty crappy my whole life. This just hasn't been good. And he instantly takes me right to page 85. And he says to me, Bill, read that. Worry, remorse, and morbid reflection. We can't go there. We can't afford to go there. And why is that? Because we can be of no help to anyone else. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. You know, and when I called him back, I was sitting in my room. I can tell you the chair I was in, where I'm sitting there doing the hour, my books, everything. I passed out. I was free. Then the freedom that came was beyond. And that's because I did this thorough inventory, and I continue to do it. So I don't think I can carry much more than that. And it's an honor to be here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you both. Thank you for all your shares. We are going to wrap up just reading the last two paragraphs we have. So I will share those. And these are both from page 76. If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step six. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can we now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. When ready, we say something like this: My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7. Thank you both for all of your shares this evening. We are going to transition to the close, and we will start with the 7th tradition. And that states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the 7th tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. And I will go ahead and post again the link to give to the Simple Actions basket. So you should see that in the chat pod now. A common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Thank you for all being a part of that this evening. We will take announcements. And you can use the raise hand feature or wave in the camera. And I think Howard.
Yeah, my name is Howard Eber. I am an alcoholic. We have a meeting Sunday evening, Big Book Step Study. We go through the book word for word, line by line, page by page, give out assignments. If you'd like to become part of it, send your email address to thebigbookstudy@aol.com, thebigbookstudy@aol.com, and I put it up there so you can see it. But we'll send you the handouts, not just the information to get on, but the handouts. We have a lot of handout material. Thank you. 5:30 Sunday.
Great. Thank you, Howard. Any other announcements? David, do you have a speaker to announce for this week?
Yeah, on Sunday nights, we've got a 7 p.m. Speaker/Ask It Basket format. Starts at 7 p.m. It's an hour and a half. We're inviting speakers to come in to share their stories for an hour, and then we take a short break and then reconvene and ask them some questions. And this Sunday we have Craig W. from Sandy Hook, Connecticut. But we're loaded up all the way through September. We've got some great speakers. Sunday night, 7 p.m., open to all. Love to see you. Thanks.
Thanks, David. All right, I don't see any other announcements. Simple Actions is a home group. Home group members, please raise your hand.
Tracy and KT have an announcement.
Okay, where was that?
JT.
All right. All right, JC, are you unmuted? I don't see you. JC, you should get a notification.
Their hand is up.
Hi, my name is JT. I'm an alcoholic. Sorry for the confusion. My name is JT. I'm an alcoholic. The last Friday of this month, the 28th, Candlelight Meeting is having a workshop in conjunction with District 14, and that workshop is going to be entitled Bill Wilson's personal, Bill Wilson's spiritual experience. I apologize for shakiness right now. So that meeting is going to be a 30-minute speaker with a basket afterwards, and it's going to be on AA history from 1955 to 1970. All right. I think I'm done. I've had enough.
Thanks, JT.
That's going to be a cool little workshop. Jay Stinnett from Los Angeles is going to be the speaker.
Awesome. All right. Did I miss anyone else? All right. Now, Simple Actions is a home group. Home group members, please raise your hand. If you're interested in joining our home group or are in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting to connect with any of the folks with their hands raised. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, someone will be available in the Zoom room when we close the meeting. Please stick around to talk with us, or feel free to email info@simpleactions.net with questions. All right, and I'm going to share my screen. Grant M. has volunteered to read a vision for you.
Hey, I'm Grant. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey,
a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks for letting me read.
Thanks, Grant. I'm going to go ahead and give folks the ability to unmute themselves. And we will close with the Lord's Prayer, and then you'll have an opportunity to thank our wonderful speakers for this evening. So first, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.